And I won't just say that. I genuinely mean
it. I feel like us doing this podcast is a bit like quality time as well. Jokingly try and tackle me. So do you mind? Hello and welcome to Colour Coded, the podcast where we talk about life, cultures and relationships. I'm Alex.
I'm Afsa.
And we are back in our usual London setting. Unfortunately, we don't have the birds and the bees and all of the sounds of nature behind us this time. You may get the occasional siren if you're lucky. Maybe motorbike revving, or there are some people that like to do wheelies in the car park just down there. So,
or the occasional meow from Kobe or Kaya. So,
personally, my favourite sound.
Yeah, they're the best sounds. So, Alex, you've just come back from Borneo for 2 weeks.
Two weeks.
How was it?
It was incredible. So if you guys don't know, I went to Malaysia, Penang, and then flew over to Borneo, Sabah for 2 weeks. Went by myself to meet one of my best friends out there. So sadly left Afsa for 2 weeks by himself. The house is still fine. The cats are still alive. The plants are watered. He even met me at the airport with flowers, which props to him. That was a good move.
Thank you.
You definitely got on my good books. But I did miss you a lot, and I was really looking forward to seeing you. Despite the fact that I've been in beautiful sunshine, lovely weather, come into Gatwick Airport, cloud everywhere. It was dark. It was miserable.
But I was happy
because I knew I was going to see you. So.
Oh.
I know.
No, to be honest, I missed you a lot as well. It wasn't obviously the same around the house. The cats definitely missed you. Constant meowing.
Good, that's all I like to hear.
But yeah,
I don't want to be sad, but...
But no, obviously.
I want to be validated.
But yeah, the day you came back, it wasn't the best weather. So it was a good little welcome back into London, wasn't it? So
back to reality.
So I thought I would brighten up your day by getting you some flowers and...
It's much appreciated.
Know, and cleaning up the house and stuff, which is usually always clean, to be honest. But
this man is a clean freak.
Yeah, I don't like mess. But now having two cats, I'm constantly hoovering because of the fur. It's literally... everywhere.
You should have seen this man before the video. He was like, have I got so much fur on me? Like, check, can you see, is it here? Getting the lint roller out.
It is everywhere. One thing having cats, especially cats that shed a lot, like Kobe and Kaya, you cannot wear black.
No.
Anything dark, it will literally show all over you. So, black trousers on me today, it was partially grey-white. It didn't look very, very dusty, but...
A little bit of design on it.
We've lint rolled, and I'm hoping it doesn't show up too much on the camera.
So if you do see any, if you are watching and not just listening, don't judge him, okay?
Don't judge me, Mum.
As we've been away from each other for 2 whole weeks, we did some reflecting, and we were thinking, what are some of the things that make us really happy in a marriage that maybe we could share with other people that might help them?
Yep.
So we've kind of narrowed it down to about 5 things with lots of kind of like things inside it.
Yeah.
So hopefully this is like helpful, fun, interesting, and yeah, just useful if you're married or in a relationship.
Number one, we said was very important, was communication.
100%.
Definitely is up there, probably my number one.
I think without communication, your relationship is just sadly doomed to fail.
Sometimes it's quite hard. It might be a little bit difficult to communicate with a partner because you don't know what state, mentally, where they are. And again, you might be having a bad day. You don't really want to talk to anyone. You want to kind of close. Like, we've all been through those times where we don't really want to speak to anyone.
Yeah.
But when we say communication, sometimes it's the best way to kind of communicate with someone that doesn't want to really talk is by just doing a kind gesture and then just opening those kind of, like, breaking down those walls slowly, brick by brick, and then slowly opening up and just making sure that, you know, they're okay and getting them comfortable enough to open up.
I was going to say, it's like when you say gesture, it's like you're not talking about like a monetary thing.
No.
You're talking about like...
Kind, yeah.
It, like being kindness or like basically, I think it's almost like before, and this is one we're going to go into in a minute, but before you can openly communicate, I do think you have to have trust.
Oh yeah, massively.
And we'll save that for when we talk about trust in a minute, but I think you need to build that trust. Like you said, kind of like put that olive branch out there, have those conversations. But I think be really clear on like your morals and your desires, the things that you want in life. Because if you get into a relationship with somebody and you are not on the same page, it's not going to work. Unless one of you is prepared to make huge amounts of compromises and sacrifices, you need to communicate exactly what you want from life.
Just being open. Being open, making sure that your partner knows where you are mentally. You know, if you're having a tough day, make sure that they know. If you know that you've got a very busy week ahead, like especially with you, Alex, in Alex's line of work, she's constantly obviously running around after kids or, you know, doing assemblies, talks, and whatever it may be, you would always let me know, oh, I've got a really long week ahead. And I know, so I'll take that and bank it. And in my head, I'll be like, okay, I'll try my best to kind of make your week as easy as possible. And that's only possible because you tell me.
Yeah. You can't just expect it. If I didn't say to him, week's really busy, or I know I'm going to find this really hard, or I'm going to be home really late. Sometimes I might explicitly communicate being like, can you make dinner tonight? He would probably most of the time just do that anyway. But I think it's so important in those times when you know you've got really busy weeks, not to then, to not communicate that with your loved one and then expect them to do it. And I think that's what then builds in that resentment of actually, why aren't you doing those things? Yeah. You know I've got a busy week, but have you actually communicated that?
I think basically we're all guilty of thinking they should know.
Yes, 100%.
Do you know what I mean?
Because I think when you love somebody so much and you spend so much time with them, you almost feel like they're part of you. So you feel like you're inner thoughts, they should know them.
Yeah. Because we're so open with each other, we know exactly how to kind of deal with stressful moments in our relationship or whatever it is, especially in each other's professional lives. If I'm stressed out, you know, okay, cool. It might be a little thing like, I'm going to make you a tea while you're doing this task, or something small to kind of ease the pressure a little bit, or take a little load on as well.
100%. You know? And this doesn't mean that we haven't had that difficulties in communicating. Of course we have. Thankfully, we often are able to communicate in a way that prevents arguments between us. I don't remember the last time we had an argument.
Yeah. It's, you know, it's same.
Because it's almost you might get frustrated with somebody, but you kind of know how to work around that, or kind of be or say you're sorry if you've done something wrong, but also communicate, actually, I'm sorry, I really don't like that when you do that, or you do the same to me.
You're smiling because
he knows. I sometimes say it when he's doing things to irritate me.
I'm just a child, I'm sorry.
He's such a child. So if there are, these are minor things.
Yeah.
But if there are minor things that he does, I'm trying to think of an example. Afsa is quite fun and playful, and as a man with two brothers and five cousins, male cousins, and a sister, to be fair, she's probably had her fair share of this. Headlocks are a part of the play. Headlocks for me, they're not part of the play. So he will come round when I'm doing the washing up, I'm literally busy, I'm trying to get stuff done, and he'll just come and put his arm around me and jokingly try and tackle me. So do you mind? And so there are times for that. But this is not the time. And I have to say to him, Afsa, don't do that. Please don't do that. I'm trying to do the washing up. Because he knows it's silly, he will just do it more.
Yeah. She comes back from school and then she has to deal with me as well. So it is a lot. But she communicates, and then I have to kind of bring it down a little bit, my energy. And then we will have actual adult conversations, and you know what I mean? And then it'll be better. But that's all about communication. Sometimes I do kind of overstep a little bit and I do too much.
But it's your playful nature.
Yeah, but it's all fun. One thing I remember where communication played a massive role in me basically fixing certain things that I wasn't really aware of was when I remember Alex came back from a very stressful day and she just wanted to kind of talk about her day. And while she was talking, in my head, I was already trying to fix what she was going through.
Yeah.
Even though it's not my place to do so. But all my life, I've always been the person that kind of fixes issues, or because I'm the eldest, and that's something just so natural to me. And loads of guys as well. We always think women talk because they need someone to fix it. But honestly, they don't. They just need an ear. And I remember this point where you was mentioning a stressful day at work or a stressful week at work, I remember. And every point that you made about what was stressing you out, I was trying to resolve it. And then you stopped me straight away and said, Afsa, today, I just need you to listen.
Mm.
I don't need anyone to fix it because it's not fixable. It's just work. I just need an ear I just need you to lend me an ear and just listen to my problem. And from that day on, I realized what I do, and now I'm more aware of it. And I sit, whenever Alex wants to talk about anything, I sit there, listen. I won't try to resolve an issue unless you ask.
Yeah.
You know? And that's helped me out a lot and helped us out in our relationship. Because if I tell you a situation, a problem, you listen to me, you just sit there, listen, acknowledge and understand. It's all about understanding. and I do the same for you. And I'm not jumping after each scenario trying to resolve it, or...
Because I think, like, without meaning to and inadvertently, you're almost invalidating somebody's feelings if you do that. Because if you're saying, well, why don't you do this, why do you do that? It's like, well, actually, no, I just need you to understand that now I'm really, like, upset, or I'm really frustrated, and I just need to feel this emotion, and I need to express it, and then we need to move on. Do you know what I mean? Another one, which I just want to touch on quickly, because I do know we're going to do, hopefully, a whole episode on this, and I think this is, it's almost like a bit of a taboo subject, I think, in the UK, is finances, and, like, talking about finances. And I think for us, we are very, very open about our finances with each other. We will talk about it, we'll communicate things that we want to do, or things that we, you know, we need to work on, or how we want to save. And we're really, like, good at budgeting, and we come from a working class family, so we need to make our own money. You know what I mean? Like, we, if we want to buy a house, this is, you know, we have to do this on our own. And we are intend to build something slowly, slowly, slowly. But in order to do that, we have to be open about finances. Definitely. And you have to be financially literate. And I think sometimes for women, and this is not always, sometimes also for men as well, but I think especially historically and in certain communities, the women might not have any understanding of finances at all, or be like, well, that's a man's job. But actually, I think as a woman, it's really important to know that you can understand the finances. It's actually not that difficult. It's very, very simple. You don't have to be good at maths. You just have to understand things and be able to use a calculator. That's literally all you need to be able to do. And then give yourself that safety net, but also not allow finances to be a burden on your marriage.
It's not an easy subject to talk about, or, you know, to accomplish, like, financial goals, especially in the climate that we're in right now. But trust me, you have to just keep at it. The next point that we discussed was building trust. And having, again, trust is built, piggybacking off the communication point, through communication and being very open and honest with each other. And if you do have trust in each other, this will obviously go and help build a very healthy and happy relationship.
Yeah.
You know? For example, me, obviously, Alex going away for 2 weeks, I completely trust her. I know she's, you know, she has a very good head on herself, you know? She doesn't do anything silly. She, you know, she knows...
I'm not a risk taker.
You're not a massive risk taker, and I know you're going to be safe. Within reason. Yeah, inshallah. I know you're always going to be safe. And obviously, I know you're the people you hang around with, you know? I know that they're good people. And also, like, little things as well, like around the house, like, we have each other's passcodes to each other's phones, but that's it's not because, you know, you wanted it because you wanted to, you know, go through my phone. Yeah, sneak my phone. But it's for, like, emergencies, or if I'm driving, you can open it, so change music or whatever it is. Yeah. But we... Same, vice versa, like, I have yours, but we never ever will ever go into each other's phone without asking.
And I think that's it. It's like, you've got the trust, but then you've got the boundaries. And it's like, I have a passcode to your phone, and yes, it might be quite interesting to go snoop through a phone, but the actual boundary of, like, that is your personal boundary, and I wouldn't cross that out of respect for you. And I think, you know, you do hear about these relationships where people cheat and whatever and all these awful things. And I think that can be really tricky if you've had that happen to you and then you go into another relationship. But I think trying to get to the point where you can do that without feeling the need to invade their personal boundaries, their personal space, I think that's when you truly have the trust. And, you know, people might say, well, but what if they are doing something? What if they are? Then that's on them. And that's, you know, with time, that will show. But you have to be able to build that trust and get to the point where you feel that the person that you're with won't ever do that. Do you know what I mean?
No, definitely. And again, like I said, to have a healthy and happy relationship from our experience and from what we've seen, trust is going to be one of the, you know, biggest deal breakers,
100%, you know,
and relationship enders.
That can just feed so much jealousy and hate, and just it can make your relationship really awful. You know, like, if every second Asa was on his phone, I was like, oh, what are you doing? Who are you talking to? Like, that's going to really play on him. It's going to play on me. Like, that, it's just not a healthy environment to be in for anybody. But I think it also then comes with being open. So, for example, like, if Afsa was sat on his phone, he wouldn't be sat there, like, trying to hide it away from me, because that's going to spark that, like, okay, there's something a little bit dodgy going on here. It's going to kind of, you know, those senses are going to be, like, heightened. It's about being open and saying, oh, look, I've seen this, or whatever, you know. You know, leaving your phone out and not feeling like you have to hide it or whatever, because those are the kind of things, I think, that spark that that worry. But it's not just about the phone. It's just, it's generally being open with each other. And we spoke about this in our last podcast about, you know, obviously the fact that you're Muslim and I'm not. Yeah. And going into your family, there are some things that were like quite difficult. Like obviously I didn't meet your mum and auntie straight away. That was when you were ready to get married. And for a lot of people in a Western relationship, that would be seen as a red flag. Okay, well, why are they not able to meet your family?
Yeah.
Why are those things not, you know, possible? But obviously you were very open and were like, actually, this is how it works in my culture.
That's it, yeah.
This is how things work in my family, and that's why. And I think being open about those things and again communicating, they build that trust. I'm like, okay, I'm understanding this now.
Mm.
I get it. So number three, and this is really, really important to me, it's about appreciating the little things.
Yep.
You know, picking up on what things they like, what things they don't like, watching, understanding. So an example of this is, I obviously went away. You know that I love Turkish Delight.
Oh, yeah.
And particularly the Aldi Turkish Delight. It's just delightful. I love it. I came back from my holiday. You knew I was going to be tired. I'd been traveling for like 25, 26 hours. I was exhausted. And what was at home for me? Turkish Delight. Was it expensive?
No.
It's not about that. It's about he knows the fact that I like Turkish Delight, so bought me some. So when I'm back from my holiday, I can just enjoy it.
Yeah.
It's a little treat.
Yeah.
And those small things, honestly, just bring me so much joy. Another example is that if Aston knows I have a really busy day at work or I'm really stressed, he works from home, he'll clean the house. So the house is spotless when I come back. It's tidy, everything's put away. These things mean so much. They're not monetary, really.
No.
It's about the acts and the understanding.
If I'm ever working and you can see I'm stressed, I will hear that kettle going, and then I know, you're making me, like, you'll be like, you make a tea without even me asking, and you just come and just drop it out front of me.
What do I do in the morning?
Oh, yeah. That's the main one. Yeah, this is beautiful. A lot, honestly, makes my day, makes my morning every time. I wake up, obviously Alex is gone because she has to go into school extremely early, into work. And then I'll wake up and I literally look into the kitchen and my tea is all ready to be made. So that you'll have the tea bag, the sugars. And sometimes she'll even leave a little note saying, have a great day. Honestly, makes my day. Like, it's that gesture there is so sweet. And yeah, really puts a smile on my face and like starts my day off right. Yeah,
it's like the little things that you can do to like make somebody's life a little bit easier or a little bit happier. But then also on the flip side of that, it's like, well, when I do that, Afsa will send me a message saying, thank you so much, that like, really made my day. It's also about appreciating the things that people do for you and not taking them for granted and not just being like, well, she does it every day, so I'm just gonna, It is about appreciating those things and also taking note. So for example, if there's something really big coming up at work for you, like you've got a big meeting or something, like I'll always check in with you and be like, how did it go? What happened? Or if it's somebody's birthday or whatever, like really getting to know them and understanding the things that make them tick and making sure that you check back in with them as well.
No, definitely.
One thing I love about Afsa, and he's really good at this, not just with me, but like anybody that he comes into contact with, is he's really good at giving people genuine compliments that he actually means and like vocalizing it. And I think for sometimes for everybody, but I think maybe men and more, it can be quite hard to compliment people.
Yeah, because I think again, men kind of hold their cards close to their chest and they don't want to come across
give too much away.
Do you know what I mean? Oh, I don't want to be too like, I don't want to give away too much.
Mm-hmm.
I don't care. I don't give a damn. So for example, like, but the thing is, it's also the way you say or the way you compliment someone. Like if I see a guy and I'm like, well, you're looking good, man. Like I really like that top. And like, honestly, they'll be like, oh, thank you. Like if it's the first time you're meeting someone and you compliment them straight away, automatically, you don't have to, like, everyone's walls are down, guards are down, and you can have a conversation like your friend straight away. And I won't just say that. I genuinely mean it. If I see something I like on someone, even if you're walking next to someone, I'm like, oh, by the way, like, I really like your trainers. Like, they're really cool.
It's even, like, if my friends come over, for example, we're getting ready to go out, obviously you'll compliment me, which I think also, this is just, like, if you're in a relationship with someone, really tell them how beautiful they look, how great they look. As much as you think you think they know it. They need to hear it. You need to say these things because this is just such a good way to build somebody else's confidence. But you obviously like compliment me, you'll say something nice, and like it is genuine as well. But you'll also do the same for my friends. You'll be like, oh, that dress looks really good on you, or you look lovely, or you look beautiful today. And you know, if they're Muslim, you'll say, look beautiful, mashallah, or something like that. Do you know what I mean? You are so genuine and so good at making people feel good about themselves. And I think that's such a good trait that you have. And I try to embody that as well.
I try, because again, I try to kind of, if I was that person, how would it be? How would it make me feel? And I know it would make me feel like, you know, it will set me, appreciated. So every time I see you wear something and I really like it, I'm like, oh, Alex, that looks amazing. Mm. Oh, Alex, your hair always looks amazing. But I'd always be like, I know you've heard it so many times. I'm like, oh, your hair looks amazing today. Like, spot on again.
Yeah.
And you're like, oh, thank you. And I could see, you have a little smile and then it starts your day off right. And I know if you're feeling happy and, you know, your day starts off on the right note, it sets us up for the whole day. Yeah. Do you know what I mean? I know it's going to be a good day.
Yeah.
And it's just remembering.
Maybe this is a teacher in me coming out because this is what I teach children to do all the time. But I think as adults, it can be really hard. And point number four is you need to learn how to resolve conflicts. And that is just in general, but also with the person that you are with. Really understanding how they tick and having that, again, that communication, talking about things. And learning that when somebody's heightened, sometimes the best response is not to kind of match that energy, but to kind of help bring them down. Because we all do it. We are all human beings. We all have emotions. We all feel angry at times. We all have, you know, things that happen to us in our lives that really knock us off balance. Things like that happen all of the time. Mm. But I think communicating and knowing how to resolve those conflicts, or just thinking, well, actually, you know, when I'm like this or I'm really irritable, I just need some space.
That's it.
Or like, for example, if I come back and I can like get quite frustrated sometimes, I can get like a little bit irritable. I will say to Afsa, I feel really irritable. I just need some space. And that's okay.
Yeah.
It's okay to feel like that. And it's okay to communicate what you want and how to resolve that. And then, you know, Afsa will leave me for a little bit and he might come back and be like, oh, do you want a cup of tea or something like that? It's like those gestures again to kind of help bring those energies down.
Also being accountable as well, massively. Because if you know you've done something that's upset your partner, you know, you want to make sure that you take that on board and acknowledge, okay, I'm sorry. And don't be afraid to say sorry. Like, it's the only way you can kind of just take accountability, apologize, and learn from the situation. Throughout, obviously, we've been married just over a year now. Like, you know, every time I watch football, it's a...
The tension is... You can feel the tension room.
It's because I'm supporting Man United and they're going through crisis. But anyway, I don't want to get into that. They're not at the best at the moment. But we're getting there. But... You know, like if I have a bad result, I just want to kind of lock myself away and just kind of, you know, sort myself out before. And you know that, you know, you just give me a little bit of space and then you check in on me later. You'll be like, oh, you're okay. Do you want a cup of tea? Same again. Or like, oh, I'm cooking dinner. What do you want? And then I'm like, then I can't be mad anymore, you know? And it just kind of takes me away or, you know, and it just brings you back to my normal self.
Yeah.
But yeah. It's just
kind of like knowing the person, I think, isn't it?
Yeah.
But also, like you said, it is about being accountable, but also holding your partner accountable. Like, for example, if you've said something that's upset me, I will be like, maybe not in that moment, but the next day when things have kind of cooled down, I'll be like, I really didn't like the way that you said that, and that's actually really offended me. And again, you can be honest and be kind without being nasty. You know, if I kind of went in and said, well, you always say this, or you always do that, or why do you always do that? That's not going to help the situation.
It's just going to snowball into an argument, and then... an argument, you know, could lead to you not talking for days. I don't know, but...
And that's another thing, like, we will never not talk to each other. So, you know, like I said, I cannot remember the last time we had an argument, but when we get a little bit irritated with each other, we will try and make sure that things are kind of lighter. Do you know what I mean? Like, lighten it up a little bit.
I remember one time we did have an argument, and I don't remember what it was. I think it was just something silly or something, probably me not understanding or taking it a bit too far. I can tell Alex was not happy with me. And then me being me, child of me, I started to get a little bit grumpy and I thought, you know what, if she's not going to talk to me, I'm not going to talk to her. But after that, I think it was literally an hour in just separate rooms for a bit. I just came out Alex was on her laptop and I just made a cup of tea and I just literally just...
Oh yeah, I remember
this. I just put the tea out front of her and I gave her a favourite biscuit and we just sat there. Literally, we still didn't talk to each other. I just put the TV on and there we are, we're sipping our tea. Alex took her tea and then she just looks around to me and she goes, thank you. And then we both looked at each other, we just smiled and we're like, I'm sorry. And then she's like, I'm sorry as well, it's fine. And then literally after an hour, we was fine. It's just those little things, just understanding each other and knowing that you're going to be okay. And again, taking accountability and apologizing is not the end of the world. Just do it. If you are in the wrong, just do it, you know.
And sometimes like you might want to then talk about that, but it might not be immediately. Sometimes it's okay to talk about it the next day when things are like a little bit cooler and you're all okay. But it is natural when you are with somebody and you're spending a lot of time with somebody, it's natural to have conflict.
Definitely.
That is normal.
Definitely.
And yeah, it's just how you handle it. That's the important part.
No, definitely. Was it this is our fifth one, right?
This is our fifth and last one.
All right, fifth point that we...
Before our fun game. We've got a fun game.
Yeah, we've got a fun
finish.
Game. Just to...
We wanted to make it a bit more lighthearted.
Lighthearted, yeah.
It feels kind of serious, but kind of important. So you wanted something fun
definitely.
To end on.
So the fifth one is spend quality time together and make time for each other. Because in this day and age, life is busy.
Like, full of distractions.
Full of distractions. You know, you might want to go see this friend. You might, you know, work might be taking up a lot of your time. You come home, you're tired, you want to fall asleep.
Scroll on TikTok, Instagram.
That is so dangerous as well. Scrolling, like endlessly scrolling. What you need to do is be mindful of your partner and make sure that you give them time as well. If that even means just sitting there, what we've started to do as well, we'll make time and we'll turn the TVs, everything off, and we just sit there and we just talk.
Yeah.
Just talk about our day or our week.
Mm-hmm.
If we realize, oh, you know, we haven't actually had time where we've spent together, we will literally do that. Or our favorite thing, on a weekend, if the weather's really bad, we'll be like, do you want to go get a coffee?
Yeah. We will literally... Walk and coffee, that's one of our favorite things.
We'll get a coffee. If it's raining, we'll stay in the coffee shop, we'll just talk, people watch. You know, find commonalities. Like if you're in a relationship, that you're in it for a reason, because, you know, you must have something in common.
Yeah.
You know, you must love each other for a reason. So use that and, you know, find common ground and spend time together as much as you can. If you like doing Lego, do Lego together.
Oh yeah, we did that one. Yeah, didn't
do
we?
Lego
we,
together.
We did a little mini Pokemon. I remember that. Pikachu.
I don't know. It might be put away somewhere.
I think we gave that to Charity Shop. Oh, we can get rid of that.
We'll get a new... We'll do another project.
We'll do a big one.
But yeah, like...
We read books as well. Actually, yeah. That's one thing that we... You guys may not know this about us, but we're really interested in like business and finance, and we're learning a lot about it, and we're hoping to kind of build things slowly and, you know, give back to the world as our kind of end goal in all of this. So we all just read each other books, don't we? We will literally just sit and like read a chapter, you read a chapter, and vice versa.
Yeah.
One of our good friends... they do drawings together. It's the cutest
it's
thing.
It's so beautiful. It's so cute.
So beautiful. So they'll literally like design, one of them will draw something, the next one will draw something. It's literally the cutest thing. There's so many things that you can do that don't cost a lot of money as well.
That's
it doesn't
definitely.
Have to cost money. You could do things like drawing, reading, you know, dancing, singing, whatever it may be. Just to kind of have that quality time together. Mm. And even, like, I even feel like us doing this podcast is... a bit like quality time as well.
It's a bit like therapy as well.
It's like therapy. Because we'll talk through it before and then we'll have these conversations. Mm. And it's just really nice to... Because we only kind of like talk about the topic, right? And then maybe like today we decide on the five things we want to talk about. But hearing your views, for me, is like very therapeutic. And it feels really nice to hear that from you. And I hope that's the same for you too.
No, definitely. And it's, like I said, it's like when we do talk about these subjects and I hear your point of view... It will remind me of something from the past. I'm like, oh yeah, I remember we did that as well.
Yeah.
Oh yeah, we do that a lot.
Because
sometimes when you're kind of in a relationship and you kind of don't realize the things that you do. It's the little things that kind of make the relationship successful. But when you actually talk about it and point them out, you realize, oh, we have come a long way.
Yeah.
You know, we do these things. It's really, you know, it's really reassuring and it's beautiful. So, yeah.
So this game is who knows who best. So we challenge each other to write three questions each.
Yep.
asking about something that we've told each other about. So we're going to be testing our communication skills and our memory. And then we have to try and answer it. So they're going to be quite obscure. They're not going to be like obvious things. They'll be a little bit more obscure about things in our past, things about us. So let's get into it.
Yeah, let's go.
Do you want to go first?
Me first. Okay, cool.
Go on then.
I thought about this last night, the three, one of the questions, and I remember telling you the story. I want to know if you remember.
Go on.
What was the colour of the first bike I ever got?
Oh. In the UK or Bangladesh?
Bangladesh, the first ever bike I've ever got.
So this is like, not to give away your age, but this is 30 years ago then.
Yeah. Just over 30 years ago.
So I feel like I remember you saying you were probably around 5, because you came to London when you were 7, so I think...
6.
6.
Had you...
6 or 7? Well, you said you were in year 2, so okay.
All right.
6 or 7. So it must have been before then. I think you must have been around 5. And I feel like...
Do you remember the colour? I've mentioned it so many times.
I feel like it's an obscure colour. Like, it could be pink. Like, not... Okay, well, it's not pink, because from that reaction. Okay.
I
think this was like a hand-me-down type situation. Like, a family had it.
Maybe.
And then they moved away or didn't need it. The child grew up and then it got given to you. Is that right? Is that right?
Yeah.
So I know the story.
You know the story, but do you remember the colour of the bike?
Blue. Is it blue?
I'm not going to lie. I thought you might not remember it because I told you this story like ages ago.
I know.
Ages ago. Yes. It was blue.
Okay. I have a scar on the left side of my face. A very faint one. How did that happen?
Hold on. The scar story. Let me see if I remember.
I've only told you the story once. I don't really mention it very often.
Because I think I remember, because I said something about how I received the scar on my arm off a bike. I think it was at your dad's.
Yeah.
And you fell off a bike and you scraped your face.
Yeah, well done.
See, I do listen. All right, next question from me. How many near-death experiences have I had?
You're being a little bit dramatic with the near death.
It's not near death. Okay, how many incidents have I had as a child?
Okay, I think I know this one. So the first one was in Bangladesh, marble floor, you slipped over and cracked your head open.
Yeah.
And your auntie helped you.
I only told you that story. I've never really mentioned that again. It was ages ago, so well done.
Yeah. I know. I remember things. Right, I take notes of little things. You were kicked by a horse.
Yeah.
Pulled by a goat.
Yep.
And ran over by a motorcycle.
Oh, not run
over. This is in London.
Not run over, I got hit by a motorbike.
Okay, hit by a motorcycle.
Yeah, you didn't like... Thank God. Yeah.
Imagine. Is there another one?
Hold on, 1, 2, 3, 4. I'm losing count now. I'm bad. I would think... Yeah.
The only other thing I can think of is your collarbone.
Yeah, that's but I wasn't a child.
That's near death, is it?
No, but I wasn't a child. I was a grown-up.
He got his, playing football, might I add.
But okay,
I'll got his collarbone broken.
Okay, it was 4, and then you got them all right.
Thank you very much.
Well done.
Thank you. What instrument did I play as a child/teenager?
Instrument.
Yeah.
To be fair, you've played a few.
But there's a main one that I played for a long time.
For a long time. You've played so many, so this is a bit of a... This is a really tough question, because I don't know which one you carried on.
Well, there was one I played for a long time. It was a big part of my life.
You played a flute?
No.
A clarinet?
Mm-hmm.
You played that, but that's not the one, is it?
I don't know.
Oh, no, see. Did you play... You had a guitar?
Yeah.
I remember. You didn't do violin. You didn't do violin. How am I meant to know? So, violin. I'll say clarinet.
It was clarinet,
yeah?
It was clarinet. I played that for years. Did some grades, would you know?
All right.
Yeah, I love that.
Okay.
So, yeah.
Okay, third and final question. So far, we know each other fairly well.
Okay.
Yeah? Okay, cool. So it's 2-2. Next question.
Just,
I want to try and make this a little bit tough.
Go on.
What was my... first secondary school? What was the name of the first secondary school that I went to?
Oh, this is hard, man. This is like, I remember. It was in Wood Green, White Hart Road? Chapel? No, White Hart something. White Hart, is it White Hart? White Hart Lane.
I thought you're not going to get that. All right, yeah, you got it. White Hart Lane. Well, I don't know how you remember that.
I know.
Okay. I would be as well. Okay, cool.
All right, then. What was the name? I don't know if I've ever said this, though. So maybe this is a bit of a tricky one.
Okay, go on. Let me...
We've driven past it, actually, so I think I have said it. What was the name? We have driven past this, actually, because I definitely showed you. I showed you where I used to live and the name of my first ever primary school.
Don't do this to me, because Cornish... I can't... No, is it about... No, I can't... Don't do this to me, because I don't remember names, man. I'm not good with Cornish names. I don't know.
You don't know it?
But no, just go on.
Okay, I'll make it easier. What was the name of my secondary school?
Secondary school?
You definitely know this, because I made reference to it in my videos before.
Alex,
and
man.
It's related to... I don't want to give it away, but it's related to something very obvious in the area.
Rugby. Sports. Rugby.
It was a sports school.
Yeah, I know it was a sports school, and you said you wasn't very sporty.
No, so I hated it.
Yeah, I remember that. But I don't remember the name of the school. That's a dodgy question, that.
I remembered your first secondary school.
Okay. What?
Should I give you a clue?
Yeah, give me a clue. You have to give me a
clue.
It's
related to the most recent vlog that we had. We went somewhere.
We went on it?
Mm-hmm.
It's
related to it.
I'm so confused. You didn't tell me the name, did you?
I definitely told you.
Are you sure?
Definitely.
If I hear it and if you tell me and then I...
Well, you're going to say you haven't heard it, but you've definitely heard it. Because I literally said, oh, it's so funny because my school is called...
Your school is called what?
I'm not going to say it, obviously. Do you give up?
Yeah, I'll give up.
I'm going to get three. You're going to get two. Right. I'm going to be the winner here.
I'm not going to... I don't think you're going to remember White Hart Lane.
No.
Oh, you got a good memory.
Mounts Bay.
Now you say it.
Yeah, it makes sense. Mounts Bay School, because it's the Mount, St. Michael's Mount. It's like this like really cool, like literal mountain with a castle in the middle of the sea.
Yeah.
And it's in that area, Mounts Bay School.
It does, now it's ringing a bell, I'll be honest with you, yeah. All right, cool, you win. Well done.
Thanks, we're fist bumping for those of you who are looking on the audio. I feel very happy I can leave this podcast with much joy and champion as I
should have made it harder for you, man. I should have made it harder.
No, I just know you too well, that's what it is. Anyway, if you guys enjoyed this podcast, make sure you follow, subscribe, hit us up on our socials, colour-coded, CULRCODED. My stomach is rumbling because I'm really hungry, so I hope you guys can't hear that. If you guys have any marriage tips, relationship tips, things that you think that we should have put into here, make sure you pop them in the comments down below or send us a message, send us a DM. We love hearing from you and we love hearing your stories. And any advice that can be shared, it's going to be helpful for everybody. Until the next one, we'll see you then.
See you then.
Bye.